Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Yule, y'all, and welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Dorian Wallace, joined as always by my lovely sister, Raina. What? Because you heard me take you back off of mute again, didn't you?
Not, yeah. Happy Yule, y'all. That cracked me up, too. I thought that was hilarious.
I switch it up.
Hey, witches in the house. How you bitches doing? I'm just laughing. Don't mind me. My happy ass is just cracking up. Huh?
I said, do your disclaimer. Well, anybody who doesn't see that this is an explicit show, my sister will explain it.
Here, let me explain. Hello. This show is not a G or PG rated show. In any way, shape, or form. I have a foul mouth and a foul temper. Those of you who have listened to the show before already know that. So if you have any youngsters, people with sensitive ears, people who don't like cursing, or conversations about sex and other explicit things, take them out of the room, take yourself out of the room, take me out of the room. Change the channel. Aside from that, fuckers, you're stuck with me. There you go. How y'all doing, bitches? Talk to me. What's happening?
You have no
shit. What a fucking week. Can I just tell you? Every motherfucker in the place crawled up my ass and seemed to have died this particular week. People were unbelievable. I was annoyed. I was annoyed this week in ways I didn't know I could be annoyed. That's saying a lot. Even for me with my weak annoyance threshold. But seriously, I mean, I think everybody is suffering from some kind of end-of-year fever. I don't know what that's about, but people need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody in the work world who is carrying cancer. I'm sure there are people working on it. But I don't work with any of these motherfuckers. So everybody just needs to chill your fucking jets, cool it down, splash some water on your face, and take a chill pill, because I'm about over all your asses. Anyway, it's all
right. You don't work with rocket scientists? Are you kidding me?
No. No, I do not work with, for, near, or in any kind of vicinity of any kind of rocket scientist. Now, I will tell you that I have personal friends who are pretty smart and fabulous, but even they, in their extreme sweetness and smartness, are not rocket scientists. I don't know any of you. Now, here's the funny thing. And you're going to laugh, because I know you will. I actually had a friend at one time who was, in fact, a rocket scientist. She was Now, you know you hear these stories of strippers putting themselves through school?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about. I actually had a friend who was a stripper, who was literally putting herself through college and quit after she got her degree.
Oh, my God.
I know.
A success story. I love it.
I know. Rare but true. A stripper turned rocket scientist. And let me tell you something. Sweetest girl, obviously gorgeous. I mean, for real gorgeous, not pretend hooker pretty. She was beautiful, and would dress during the day on her own time like a school marm. And I'd be like, what are you doing? And we just show a little bit of that fabulousness. And she's like, I'm not really like that. She said, that's my job. I'm not that person. I'm like, what? Much respect. Let me back up. Because, bitch, if I had that body, I'd throw mine away. Hello.
Now, I got to say, the rocket scientist that I knew was not nearly as glamorous. And I miss him. I knew two of them. One was, I'm not quite sure what he did, but they worked in the same place. They were best friends. And I used to always go over to their house for, like, D&D games and stuff. So not quite as glamorous, but they're fun people, nobody knows him, and I haven't talked to him in years, but Emery was one of those people. He was so smart, but he never talked down to you. He never made you feel stupid, because you knew he was, like, he knew everything. He was, like a walking encyclopedia or whatever, but he never made you feel dumb. And I really admired that about him.
So, well, I got to tell you, I feel stupid already just having this conversation, but be that as it may. I'm not afraid to be stupid. I can make a living being stupid. I'm good at stupid. But,
no.
Well,
you are
like
nowhere near stupid.
I do travel into the neighborhood of stupid on occasion. I do.
It kind of sucks you into its orbit every once in a while.
There is a stupid vortex out there. Yes, there's a stupid vortex, and when you deal with enough stupid people, you get sucked into the stupid vortex. It does happen. I mean, it's true. But by the same token, what are you going to do? It is what it is. So what else is going on in the world? Oh, wait, hold it. Before we go any further, go ahead and do your shout-out.
Oh, yeah, I got to give my weekly shout-out to my cousin Jessica. I'm going to send you some eggnog-flavored chips. Oh, wait, no, that'd be gross. I'm going to send you some chips, or knuckle sandwich and some chips. I said it all wrong. She's going to kick my ass. Love you, Jess.
Yeah. Love you, Jess. And your cousin Dorian's a bit skewed in the brain today. But that's okay. That's all right. We all have something going on that's making us all crazy. But anyway.
Yeah, it's like a panic at the end of the year. Everybody's just going weird.
I know. The
energy
is completely fucked up. What?
Yeah, it's funny because usually this time of year, I mean, yes, everything is manic. Everybody's rushing around trying to find last-minute gifts and, oh, got to do this, got to do that. But, there's still, like, this sense of joy. And this year, it's just not there. It's like I really don't want to go out of the house because I don't want to deal with people and a lot of us have been feeling the same way. I've seen evidence of it, on social networks and whatnot. Just people like, just not feeling it this year. I'm trying to get myself in the mood. I think I told you before the show started, but I'm downstairs tonight because hubby is working third shift this week. So I've got the TV on, and I've got it on mute, but I'm watching A Fireplace. I'm watching it on Netflix. They've got that Yule log, so I've got it going, trying to get myself in the spirit.
Well, if you set fire to the coffee table, you can simulate the heat from the Yule log.
I want a new coffee table. I'm just kidding. No, knowing me, I'd burn the house down. That would not be a good thing.
Yeah, that was not a recommendation. It was a joke. Anyway, you never know. But you never know, because you know I have that crazy sense of humor. But, yes, but, you know, I've got to tell you, honestly, you mentioned the fact that you didn't feel like we were in the holiday spirit. I can't remember. To be honest with you, I really can't remember the last time we were in the holiday spirit. I remember last year we didn't feel all that fucking jolly then either.
Yeah.
But before I forget, because we're off next Friday, correct?
Yeah, so we're taking Christmas off.
We're taking we're taking time off is what we should say, because the show would be after fucking Christmas. But the fact of the matter is, we won't hear from you guys again because until after the new year. So once again, Auntie Raina wants to remind you of the ritual that our family does every New Year's Eve. And this is the abundance spell that Sis and I do, and our brother does it, and a whole bunch of our friends do it. But at midnight, right after you kiss your loved one, find your wallet, your purse, whatever you keep your money in, go outside under the moon, wear a coat if you have to. The gods know we've done that before, haven't we, sis? We'll run out.
God.
We will bundle up for a five-second ritual. We do not give a shit. We ran out, face the moon, find her, face her, open your wallet, purse, bag, or whatever you hold your money in, and ask the gods to bless it for the coming year. I do this every year. And it makes a difference. The gods want to bless your finances and every other aspect of your life. But the timing is important. Like, you know, there's days I want to go into my boss and say, fuck you, I need a raise. And then there are days where I feel like I can go in there and say, hey, can I leave early? And depending on the day and the circumstances, she will acquiesce to my request. It's kind of the same thing. Timing is important. If you just ask the gods every five fucking seconds, I want this, I want this, I want this. You know, like any good set of parents, they're going to say, shut the fuck up. Or at least not right now. You know, I mean, seriously, there's a lot to be said for. You ask for it politely, and you wait for the answer. The answer doesn't always come the way you want it. It doesn't always come when you want it. But if you make the request, the gods do not forget your request. Like I said in the previous show, depending on what you've asked for, you may want to go back and retract some of that shit that you asked for. As years go by, time passes, things change. Be mindful of the fact of whatever you put out into the universe. You may or may want to say, okay, you know what, that no longer applies in my life. Please let me move on from that request. So it's important. Stay in, you know, as I've said to many people, remember your God so that they remember you, because you have to keep them a part of your daily life, as you would with anything important to you. The path that we're on has to be a daily life. It can't be a convenience like some Christians who go to church only on holidays. There are some pagans who only remember that they're pagans on holidays. It's the same difference. You can't do that shit. You are or you aren't. You're faithful to your path or you're not faithful to your path. You're giving lip service or you're not getting, you know, walk it or don't walk it. So that's my point, that I took a very long road to get to, and I apologize for that.
No, I think that's very good.
Well, thank you. Sometimes the older sister gets very long-winded, as we all know.
Well, that's okay. At least you don't, like, you know, blah, 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 in one breath like your little sister does.
No, that's okay. See, here's the thing. This is why older people talk so much. Older people talk so much because we know our time is finite, and we want to make sure we get everything in before we keel over. So it's important for us to impart information so that somebody might hear it and listen and benefit from the bullshit we went through. But anyway, enough about that. We are 15 minutes into the show. I hear we have a special guest tonight. Tell me all about it, please.
Yes. Actually, we finally, I've been asking them for a while, and these are very old friends of mine. Not that they're old, but I've known them for about 14 years now. but they are members of the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca. Yes, Mr. Brown, and I will explain, you know, a snippet of why I refer to him as Mr. Brown. He is actually younger than I. Or, no, he's about the same age. Anyway, but there are three people in the church.
Three of us. Overstated. No. One family.
Huh?
Three. There. It's like being with George Foreman. There's three of them in one family. There's three tones. Go ahead and explain to the people what we're talking about.
So, yes, there's Mr. and Mrs. Brown, and they are Tony and Tonya. And then there is Evil Twin, who is Tony. So it's like, oh, what was that group during the 80s or early 90s? You know, Tony.
Something like that.
But we all called him by something completely different.
Uh-huh.
So it's like as to, you know, I can't think of the word, but as to not cause confusion. And we are also going to be joined by another member, Ms. Sarah Mellon, who is one of the sweetest people, and they are going to be talking about a little bit about Yule and a little bit about their very unique divination process. And I was very happy to have read with them because they do fundraising for the church every once in a while, and their website is listed in the show stuff, and you can go and donate there, and they have a lot of community projects and everything, and I'll let them explain that to you, but I'm excited to have them on finally, so it'll be fun. So you want to pull cards real quick before we pull them on? Uh-oh, what are you giggling about?
I'll never fucking tell. Don't even ask.
Oh, God. Hold
I am in one of those, I'm in one of those moods. You know that this happens on occasion where I will just laugh for no apparent reason. Don't send a wagon.
Yeah, because she's having evil thoughts.
Always. And I don't know why I feel like I have to mention this, but anybody who's ever not seen a movie called The Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves and Robert De Niro, please, for your holiday viewing pleasure, let me wholeheartedly recommend the fuck out of this movie. It is brilliant. I love it. And another seasonal favorite of mine, my very favorite movie of all time, is The Lion in Winter. So if you've not had the benefit of seeing either of these movies, I cannot recommend them enough. They are both extremely different and both brilliant. So if you didn't know what the hell to do over the holiday season, because a lot of people are off for the week, a lot of people are off for 3 days, a lot of blah, 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 you don't know what to do with yourself, your in-laws are driving you nuts, pull out a movie that you could probably find on Netflix or certainly rent real cheap. The Devil's Advocate, great movie, and The Lion in Winter is always a phenomenal movie. I just love it. But The Lion in Winter does take place during the holiday season. If you feel like it's got to correspond, there you go. Oh,
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting reading.
Uh-oh. You go first because I'm still pulling.
Are you really?
Yes, well, I had to answer somebody before. Because you know me, I multitask while I'm on the air.
And how many times have I told you not to do that? She never listens to me.
I was talking to the guest.
Oh, okay. The guest is,
the
guest is another story. Okay, so this is how we're going to do this reading tonight. I'm going to ask you left side, right side for each card. And from there, I'm going to position the card. So card one, left side, left or right?
Left.
Second card, left or right?
Left.
Third card, left or right?
Right.
Fourth card, left or right?
Left.
Fifth card?
Right.
Wow. This is very interesting. I like this.
Okay. You're going to have to teach me how to do that.
I just taught you how to do it a minute ago. Were you not paying attention? Anyway. I love her. She puts up, you know, there is nothing like having somebody who loves you, not just because they love you, but because you're related and they have to, and they put up with your shit no matter what. That's just like the greatest blessing that God could give you. All right, part number one. I think this reading is all one person, but it's out of order. So I am going to try... I am going to try reading this in reverse.
Okay. Interesting. We're going all haphazard.
Oh, we are
not
going.
You know what I mean.
I'm going sideways on this shit. Okay. First card. Help those less fortunate. So this is somebody who's probably going to volunteer Second Harvest or something in the community to help others, or it's just something to help other people during this holiday season. Maybe you've adopted a family, whatever. So that's the target of who this reading is for, because I don't know who this reading is for. Next card, invitation to a party, and all of these things are connected to that party.
Mm.
A lover awaits at this fucking party. So apparently you're going to see somebody that you haven't seen in a while at this party, and you already know about it. So are they going to show up? Yes, they are. They are going to show up. However, fool, you're going to a party to meet up with somebody who's already with somebody else.
Oh, no.
Because the next card says, beware of scandal and gossip. So I think y'all ought to stare at each other from across the room and not do anything else. That's that
uh-huh.
one. And the last one is loss of property if not careful. And it doesn't necessarily mean material goods. You are risking everything if you make a move on this person at this party. Bitch, lay this thing out and tread it carefully. Think about everything you are putting at risk. Think about everything that could happen if the person's other person finds out about your ass. Think about it. Be careful. And don't fuck your shit up unless you know it's real. But you won't know it's real just because you get that tingly feeling. You gotta wait. Your time is not ready. It's not done cooking, mama. Hold your jet. That's my reading.
Awesome.
I'll just tell it to you straight up. Don't fuck around, bitch. You're going to lose some shit.
Okay.
What do you got?
I have the first two cards are for different people, and the last three are for somebody else, or for somebody in particular, and I feel this is a male. First card, this is a general beware of the law, especially this time of year. Do not drink and drive. I cannot reiterate that enough. That pops up a lot. But, yeah, you know, and also be careful because you're like, being really tricky this time of year. So, you know, hiding, sitting, ambushing.
They have been ambushing my ass for 2 weeks. You have no idea. They fucking pull up next to you all quiet and calm, like, hey, how you doing? Bitch, they are waiting for you to speed ahead of them. They are just waiting.
Yeah.
They are facing the same direction, all their lights are off, they're not in the center median anymore. Now these bitches are hanging out on the side, waiting in the dark, I mean, and
yeah,
covered by enough trees. I don't, it's entrapment, but you know what? Who is going to take my happy ass's word over a cop? For real, have you seen me? Have you seen me? Come on now. They are
right.
Waiting for me. Waiting.
Okay. Second card. Partnership leads to unhappiness. Do not get into... Well, actually, you've already done it. you've gotten into a relationship just because you didn't want to be alone during the holidays. Big mistake. And just... It's not going to work out. So just cut your losses. It doesn't matter, you know, when. You're miserable. You know, it's still okay at this point, but it's not really somebody you want to bring around anyway. So just don't feel bad about cutting your losses because this is not going to be a good partnership. now, the last three cards, a secret transaction, which... this is bordering on underhanded, but it ties into the next two, which is good financial news and promotion. This is a job that probably should have gone the rest of the company, but it has been finagled that you are going to be the one who gets it.
Okay.
Now, it's good. No, this is not who you're thinking. This is a good thing for you, but there is going to be some backlash, so be expecting that and be expecting some of the other people in the office who were surprised or are going to be surprised by you taking that spot that they didn't even know was empty to be quite upset with it, and they have right to be. I'm not saying that you're not good for the job, but that's kind of snaky. It is kind of snaky, and you know it. It's good money. I know you need it. Do you, boo?
Okay.
But there's going to be a lot of people who are not happy about it, and somebody who did deserve the position more than you.
Oh.
And, yeah, and it was a woman, so she's going to be double mad because...
Ooh.
I don't like that personally, you know, but, you know, survival of the fittest, I suppose, you know, and you've gotten in, so, but, yeah, there will be repercussions for that, so, all right, but that's my reading.
Wow.
It's like, I'm kind of torn about that one. It's like, I don't want to yell at this person because, you know, I think a good portion of us, if we had the opportunity, would probably do the same, but kind of sneaky.
You know, shit happens. That's just the
exactly.
way it goes. I mean, sometimes you got to roll with the punches. Every deal is not a clean deal. Would it be great if it could be? Sure. But every deal is not a great deal. Sometimes... things happen, and you can't always tell everybody everything that's happening. I've experienced that many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
It's, you know, I mean, honestly, at the same time, this, you know, this other person, even though they are livid and they are going to be pissed, and they have right to be pissed, they will understand it. And an opportunity will come open for this other person anyway, and it will be at a different company, and she's going to be making way more money than you. So hope it was worth it.
Damn.
Ask them to be good for her, so. Whatever. What comes around goes around. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, you ready to pull our guest on?
Yeah. Bring them on, please.
Awesome. Well, I see one of them in the queue, so I'm going to take you off of mute. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Oops, sorry. I didn't mean to scream. How you doing, Mr. Brown?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
We are doing good.
Yes, we are.
Good, and Sarah's with me.
Hey.
Awesome. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I love it.
So,
this is awesome.
So you guys actually held your Yule ceremony last week, didn't you?
That's right.
Awesome.
We did our annual Yule vigil. What we did is we set up a bonfire, and as the sun went down, precisely at 5:13, as NASA dictated, we lit our bonfire, and we tended it all night long until the sun came back up the next day.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, did you guys do that at the new property?
No, we did that out at the house. The new property does not have a parking lot yet, and our crowd was too large, and it was too wet to expect people to park on the side of the road.
I don't blame
Very
you there.
Cool. Mm. But it's cool that you had that big of a crowd. That's awesome.
It's one of our more popular events. It's not the super big blowout that we have at Beltane, but enough people are there to make it worthwhile.
That's awesome.
I know. So tell people a little bit about the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca.
The Church of Wicca, the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca, is a group that we formed back in 1999. There were five of us. We met in the back room of a Quincy's Steakhouse, and we hammered out some bylaws. We got a copy of these bylaws that were used for basically a non-denominational church, and we tweaked them to fit what we were about, and we ratified them and sent them into the Secretary of State, and by February, we were a legally incorporated church.
Awesome!
The whole point of what we were trying to do is in the South here, in the Bible Belt, when you roll into a new town, if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran and you drop into the local church of your denomination, then you have a ready-made support network. And it's not just a faith community. It's a social network. These people have business connections, and they're all built in, and you just slip right into that. And Wiccans didn't have that, and it's our dream that someday they will. So, you know, bit by bit, piece by piece, that's what we're trying to put together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excuse me. Ooh, I don't mean to cough on you here, but because I joined up with you guys, 2000, I think.
Yeah, you were
like
there
that.
Almost in the beginning.
Yeah, I actually got to work on the bylaws. Oh, goodness. I know, it's like, I was just thinking about it earlier. I was like, oh, my gosh, we have known each other for, like, 14 years. Because my 16-year-old was two. He was only 2 years old.
I remember he was so tiny.
And now he towers over me.
And I feel so old.
We're not. I refuse. I reject that reality and I substitute my own.
But,
like you do.
One of the great things about being involved with the church has been that we see new people come in and the leadership transitions, and it's not all about a personality. It's not about one or two people who are guiding the thing. It's taken on its own life. Like when we first started, I had the role of chancellor, sort of like the superintendent or business manager, and we've had two successive chancellors since then. And this last weekend at our Yule celebration, just passed off the office of high priest to Sean Whitney, who's our up and coming high priest, and he's going to do such a great job. He's so organized and he's so enthusiastic and he's so smart. It's I'm jealous of how he's going to be able to do his job so well. And he's got a wonderful high priestess to pair with, and that's Sarah, who
yes.
I'm pointing at.
And I'm just looking at it.
So that she can say things.
Aww.
No, we're excited to work with Sean, but it's, you know, with change, it's sort of bittersweet. So.
Aww.
It'll be different. But Tony and I are very close astrologically, so we kind of work in step very well.
Yeah, we've had a very good magical partnership.
Well, that's good. So what will you be doing instead, Mr. Brown?
Oh, helping out where I can. I have an interesting new project that I'm taking on. I'm exploring the mysteries of Dionysus.
Oh.
Who's
yes.
been a longtime patron, and I'm just sort of formalizing my relationship. I am planning to undergo a self-dedication tomorrow, in fact.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
And I'm hoping to sort of open it up and start doing some Dionysian events and rituals in the upcoming years.
I'll bring a bottle of wine.
Please do. Please do.
Yes.
Or seven.
I know, right? Yeah, one for me and then a bunch for everybody else. I know. Well, when I was reading with you guys, you know, because I was explaining to the audience that, you know, you guys go to the flea market out there. Well, actually, I don't think I said the flea market, but you guys go around to different spots and everything and take donations for the church for readings. And I had the honor of reading with you guys, and your divination processes are both each very different and very unique, and I've never seen them before personally.
Well,
I think
that both of them are actually sort of unique to us. I know that my tea totem is something that I kind of dreamed up on my own, and Sarah's. It's actually called Saramancy, I think, mm-hmm. coincidentally. But she can tell you more about it.
The bee oracle. But, that's something that came from Pan.
From what? I'm sorry.
Tony dreamed up his tea totem on his own, and the bee oracle, the way it's all put together and everything, came from Pan, the god.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Tell me about that, because I've never heard of a bee oracle. I'm sure a lot of people haven't, but that sounds really cool. Please explain.
Well, one of the things that Pan is in charge of is beekeeping, and a lot of cultures view bees as messengers. A lot of times being a messenger between earth and heaven and the gods and humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of based off of that belief, and then in with it is the belief that honey is a slight intoxicant. So when you eat honey, And when you inhale propolis, which is basically just bee glue, so you're huffing bee glue, it opens up your psychic senses.
Yeah.
And then we layer that with a divination technique called theramancy, which is where you read different patterns and wax drippings that we drip beeswax into water, and we read the patterns on top of the water, and then we read the shadows underneath.
It is an incredible experience.
It sounds
amazing. I love
it
when she does reading for us.
That's awesome. I would love to experience this. That sounds too fascinating for words. I really like that. It reminds me of reading tea leaves, but it's a lot cooler, and I think it's a lot more to the point because, you know, bees are so a part of they're the most vital part of our ecosystem. You have no food if you have no bees. Therefore, you have no life if you have no bees. So that
That's
makes perfect
true.
Sense. Yeah, that I would love to see that in action.
But it works a lot, like you were saying, like tea leaves, except a lot of people that practice tea leaf readings, they work from a set of symbols that mean certain things.
Yeah.
And when you read the Bee Oracle, you sort of work on your own intuition as to what you're seeing and what they mean.
Makes sense.
And a lot of times you'll see symbols that make no sense to you and may not necessarily make sense to the person you're reading for, but several weeks later it does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'll see things from popular culture that'll have a certain meaning for the person I'm reading for. You know, personal symbols that mean nothing to me, but it means something to them.
Yeah, well, I get that in readings all the time where it's like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. Do you understand what this means? Yes, I do. Oh, very good. Then there you go. That was for you. There you go. Because I don't have to, as a reader, I don't feel like I have to know exactly every detail because some shit is just not my business.
Right.
But if it's pertinent to the person you're reading for, or it's something that they remember later on and say, oh, I figured out what you were talking about. This is what happened today.
That's
so
it.
That does happen a lot. So how long have you been doing this?
I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like it's all that long, but I guess it's been about 2 years.
It's been at least 2 years.
Yeah, it came to me one night when I had a really bad cold and I was eating a jar of honey. It just sort of all came together.
That's amazing. But see, that's how these things happen. Out of the most innocuous situation can come any kind of brilliant idea or new innovation or anything of that nature. So I think that's cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I would love to experience this somewhere. Where can I meet with you, or is there a website or a link on the North Carolina Piedmont Church of Wicca, or how would one get in touch with you, Madam
Sarah?
You can
Facebook me. It's a very easy technique to do long distance via Facebook messages or text messages or. And actually, that kind of works out better for the person who is getting the reading because a lot of times the images come very rapidly, and I type out what I see, and then later on they can go back and review it. Because, you know, a lot of times when you're getting a reading, you get overloaded with information, and then afterwards you're going, now what did she say again about my work relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And that way you've got it. You can go back and read it.
Awesome.
And
good to know.
You use your own beeswax, too, don't you?
Right. The beeswax that's used for the Bee Oracle candle is not refined or anything, so you get clean wax, dirty wax, dead bees, you get it all.
Wow.
Because she keeps her own bees.
Yeah.
There's
the Panaleptus bees.
Right.
Now, what is the difference between those? Because I still have
a couple of the pamphlets that I got from you about North Carolina wild bees. What is the difference between your bees and, say, a bee that I would find eating clover in my yard?
Well, unless you have somebody within 2 to 4 miles of you that keeps honeybees, it's probably not a honeybee, unless there's a wild colony or a beekeeper. Honeybees are not native to North America. They're kind of like horses. Some people keep them domesticated, and then there's several feral colonies out there that, you know, just like they round up the ponies every so often down east, beekeepers go out, you know, every so often when somebody calls or they find a feral swarm, and then they bring them back into captivity. In the wild, you've got everything from sweat bees up to big, huge bumblebees. Some bees aren't even black and yellow, so you don't necessarily realize that they're bees. A lot of bees are green and black, and when you're just seeing them zip by, you kind of think they're a wasp.
Yeah. Now, I've seen those. Are the, like, the little blue ones that actually will go after you, are those bees?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the main difference between bees and wasps are is that bees have hair and wasps do not. They're all smooth, and hornets are smooth. Bees do not eat any kind of meat. They get their protein from pollen. But wasps and hornets are omnivorous, so they collect some pollen, and they collect lots of nectar, but they also kill other insects for meat.
See, they're mean. They're evil.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of wasps. I've been chased too many. Because it's like I'll be standing there, and they will, like, you know, like, hey, move. And it's like I was here first. Okay, I'm going. You know, like especially those big Japanese hornets. Oh, they do not like them.
No, they're horrible. They'll go through a beehive in no time at all if it's weak.
Oh, my goodness.
That they'll
So they
they'll eat like
beehive?
40 worker bees in a matter of minutes.
Know.
It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Aww.
So your rule of thumb, children, for those of you listening, if it's smooth, you got to move. If it's furry, you don't have to hurry. There you go.
Oh,
now you know how to remember it.
Thank you. I like that.
Well, you may still have to hurry. I mean, they can still stink you.
Yeah, but you won't necessarily die.
That's true. Well,
because wasps freak me out. Hornets freak me out. A bee sting, I can just about tolerate, but anything else, I could actually die. So, yeah, I when it comes to wasps, and I thank you for the lesson on that because I could never remember the difference. Now I know.
And if you get stung by a bee, it's a female bee. The males don't usually have stingers.
Hmm. I did not know.
Neither did
That's
I.
That's interesting. Huh.
It's the one time a male won't fuck with you, but a female will. You see how that works? That shit.
And like on warm days like today, there were some yellow jackets and bees out. Most of what you saw were not males because they've kicked the males out of the hive and they're all frozen and dead.
Oh,
wow.
Now, that brings up an interesting question. If they, like, reject the males and the males all die off, how do they reproduce more males?
Asexually.
Oh.
They lay unfertilized eggs, and that's how you get male bees. Female bees come from fertilized eggs. And only the queen goes off and has sex, so she's only the one that will lay workers. But now the workers can lay males. And queens can lay male eggs, too, drone brood. if she's not had sex. Or if she's old and all her sperm has run out, because they store sperm. They only have, they go off for their one big sex flight. Right, exactly. And there are German bees, so that fits perfectly. And then she'll mate, if she's a good queen, she'll mate 8 to 12 times and store that sperm up. And over the course of her five-year life, she gradually runs out of sperm and starts laying more what they call drone brood, male eggs. Because it's not fertilized.
Interesting. Now, does she lay a new queen like toward the end of her life? Or I'm fascinated by this. I know I probably should have learned this in biology class, or science. You know.
Well, she didn't actually get to decide which eggs become queen. The workers do, and. About every couple weeks in the springtime, they'll try to make several eggs turn into queens. And what they'll do is they'll choose the best looking eggs, and they'll, as the larva hatch and grow and develop, they'll start feeding it this special substance called royal jelly. And
yep.
They'll make what's called a queen cell. You know, everybody knows what a little hexagonal wax cell looks like. Well, queen cells look like a little cup. They're bigger, and they stick out. And that's because queens are, when they mature, are bigger than worker bees, so they have to have that extra room. And the queen's job is to go through and sting all those potentially new queens before they hatch.
Why?
If one of them hatches, then whichever one is the strongest will kill off the other new queens, and she'll either battle the old queen or they'll hive off. And the old queen will leave with half, or the new queen will leave with half. Usually the new queen leaves with half. And she takes the best workers and leaves, and most of the honey, half the honey, is gone.
So it's kind of a cutthroat operation.
Yeah, it's like Highlander. There can be only one.
Shit.
I'm sorry, now I'm picturing a bee wielding a sword. Oh, that is absolutely fascinating, though. You know, but so. Tony, tell us about your divination, because this is something you have invented yourself. You have actually, you know, created the tool and everything, and are, like, you know, honing it, so to speak. You were still honing it when I first saw it, and it's just fascinating to me. They're both fascinating, but tell everybody about yours.
Well, it's kind of an odd thing. It's what I was doing was I was trying to learn the Hebrew alphabet, because I'm interested in the Kabbalah, and the Hebrew alphabet is a major part of how the Kabbalah works and what the concepts are tied together based on. So I'm learning this alphabet, and it's got 22 letters in it, and there are three mother letters and seven double letters, and 22 letters total. And that's why the Hebrew letters correlate to the major arcana in the Torah, is because there are 22 of them. So that's the correlation there. And I'm trying to associate the letters with the Trump's major, and I don't like the way the Golden Dawn has done it, so I'm kind of remapping it, and I'm trying to piece them together the way I think they should go. And I start thinking about what other things there are 22 of. I mean, what else can these letters correlate to? And what occurred to me is that there are 22 units of measurement in the ratio that classically approximates pi. Pi is 3.14 on to infinity, but it can also be expressed as 22 divided by 7. So I'm looking at doing a wheel with the letters all around it, and that, you know, represents the approximation of pi. The diameter will be 7, which represents the 7 doubles, and the actual product is close to 3, which represents the 3 mothers. And I'm looking at that, and I'm wondering how I can apply that or make some kind of use of it. And it occurred to me that there's already a way that people randomly choose Hebrew letters, but they only have a smaller set. They have 4 of them, and it's on the dreidels that are spun at Hanukkah. So I kind of put my head to it and did some work and some math, and went out and bought some clay and tried to learn how to use it, and I made what I originally thought of as a, sort of like a super dreidel. It has all 22
yeah.
letters. It's a giant top. Well, it's not really giant. It's big compared to a dreidel, though. And you you spin it, and you can tell which of the Hebrew letters it lands on. And from that, it gives you a key back into the Trump's major. Whichever letter it lands on is going to relate to one of the major arcana. But in studying the letters, I also learned that the Hebrew letters are not just phonetic equivalents. They are based on older pictograms. Each of the letters means something in and of itself. So when you look at the first letter, Aleph, which the Golden Dawn maps to the magician, but I choose to map to the fool. No, I'm sorry, the other way around. The Golden Dawn maps it to the fool, but I choose to map it to the magician because that makes more sense. But what it literally means is ox. And so each of the letters, the Aleph is ox, Bet means house or tent. Going down the entire list, every one of them has a concrete image that's associated with it, which it inherited from a sort of a proto-Semitic glyph that originally can be traced back to the Egyptian. So that's how I use it. I spin the T-totem, and the letter it lands on hooks me into this vast symbolic vocabulary that touches the tarot and the proto-Semitic glyphs and all of those things. That they have, as you know, astrological associations, elemental associations. So it really unfolds a very wide range of symbols. Does that make sense?
Somewhat. it does make sense because I haven't really studied the Golden Dawn or Hebrew letters, but it's fascinating to watch you do it. You know, because
it
does.
Fun,
you're
too.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, and the people that were coming up and getting readings from you, it was, they were, like, fascinated, but, I mean, it was just spot on.
I'm not what you would call a skilled reader. I was never very good at divining with tarot cards or with like runes or ogham sticks or any of that. But something about the complexity and the mechanics of the T-totem clicked for me, and it really works.
Yeah. Well, I found, like, you know, I started out reading, I think, the Robin Wood deck,
mm-hmm.
and Sis and I found, well, she found through a friend and then passed it on to me, the Domino Divination deck,
And I have been able to read so much better and so much quicker and so much more intuitively with the Domino Divination deck.
Yep.
And runes hate me. They do not like me. I think it was Heather Gaffney Darnell gave me a set 1 year when I came to your house for Circle, and it was like I tried to study, and it was just they like ran away from me. They were like, no, we're not giving you anything.
So I hear you have to give them an ah.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'll stick to the cards. But you know, it's you find your own way of reading, and I think that actually makes for a better reader. You know, when you find a tool, especially if you build your own, or you come up with your own way of, you know, divining, you know, something that you're attached to and something that, you know, you've actually worked with. I think it works a lot better.
Well, when I was building this top, it just became an obsession. I spent just hours measuring and doing different kinds of math and drawing up plans on the computer. I researched various kinds of material. I thought about making it out of wood, and it just became an obsession for me. So when I actually finally made it, it really felt like an accomplishment. I felt connected to the tool.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So fill us in on some stuff that's coming up with the church, because you know a lot of people have been getting wind of, you know, the brouhaha and getting bigger every year. And I know that's coming up in the spring, but you know,
that's our big one.
Yeah.
that's...
Have you guys outgrown that spot yet?
No. I hope we never do. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. What we do is we rent the larger group camp at Kings Mountain State Park. It's Camp York. If anyone out there has been to an SCA gathering, they used to have a lot of them out there. Is just gorgeous. There are about 30 primitive cabins and a central feast hall with a kitchen and restrooms, and there are bowers. And what we do is we sublet out those cabins, and people stay all weekend, and we have just ritual after ritual, workshop after workshop. We have drumming. We have just a weekend packed with activities, and it's our annual fundraiser. It's where we earn most of the money that keeps the church afloat. Pays our well now that we have a mortgage, pays our mortgage, rents the PO box, keeps the web service going. But that's our big news is that we. It was just a little over a year ago is we finally were able to purchase land, and the church is now owns property in its own name, which I'm very proud of.
That's wonderful.
It's beautiful. And congratulations to you guys.
Mm-hmm. What sets Brouhaha apart from other pagan festivals is we're not going to expect you to work, and we're not going to expect you to bring food to contribute to some large feast. You can bring your own food and eat it if you want, or you can purchase our food. But that whole, and bring a potluck dish and work 6 hours doing this, and yeah, that's a bunch of junk. You've paid your money. You need to come and relax. So,
I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to Brouhaha, so I'm looking forward to coming to the next one.
Oh, yes, please come. Please come. And
I haven't been since. God, I think it was the second one.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, the first time we did it, we were at a little campground up near Lenore, and there were barely two dozen people there, and we were in tents, and it was cold, and it was frankly awful.
Aww.
But we all loved it, and we decided that we would continue to do it, but we moved to the camp that it's at now. It's just south of Kings Mountain. It's a, like I said, beautiful place, and the cabins is what really makes it possible, because even though as pagans we say that we're close to nature and that we love the woods, most of us aren't very comfortable in them. What we noticed at the first attempt up in the little campground in Lenore is that when people came, they were taking their tents out of the boxes they had bought them in.
Mm-hmm.
That those were brand new tents, never used
before.
Yeah. These were not campers, and they did not know how to camp. And I admit that I'm not a hardened camper, and I am likely to freeze to death left to my own devices.
That's okay. I got your back, Tony.
Sarah is full of woodcraft.
Wow.
And
some of us are just now older, and, you know, while I was a very seasoned camper back, 25, 30 years ago, now I'm older, my bones creak a little more, and sleeping on the ground is not exactly something I relish doing anymore. So, yeah, for we older folks like me, that's pretty optimal to have, you know, an actual cabin is awesome.
Now, I don't want to misrepresent the cabins. They are very primitive.
They have electricity, Tony. They're not that primitive.
Think of them as like a wooden tent.
Gotcha.
There's no concierge.
Gotcha. I can bring my folding cot and still sleep above the ground, though.
Yes.
There are
actually, technically, I suppose cots is what you would call it, in the cabins, but they're it's an older camp. And the cots themselves are older. But most people find it advantageous to take the mattress off the cot and put it on the floor, because the cot has the springs that kind of...
Oh, it's like that. Oh,
yeah,
it
creates an interesting terrain that is not necessarily conducive to good chiropractic health.
I gotcha. Yes. Well, I actually have a folding cot that's actually very comfortable. So
you will do well.
Thank you. Very good. That's all I needed to hear. I will do well because I have cots. Cots will travel. There you go. I love it. That's perfect. I'm definitely looking forward to this.
It would probably behoove people to move them to one side of the cabin and use them as like a sitting area.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
they're great
as
for
a
that.
Couch. Yeah.
And they're not all awful. They've actually gone through in some of the cabins, and they're systematically replacing the older cots with newer ones, which are much better, much better. The first year we went there, those wire cots, and we didn't know any better. We didn't know. We didn't know you couldn't sleep on those. So we tried, and you should have seen us all hunched over.
The next morning was very interesting.
Yeah, that year's maypole dance was not graceful.
Oh, yeah. It was more like a maypole hobble.
But get your cabins early. They go quick.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They fill up very quickly. I'm going to try to have the registration site open right around the first of the year.
Awesome.
But if you're not registered by, say, the 1st of March, you're just hopeless.
Okay.
And the site is www.churchofwicca.org.
That's right. And there'll be a banner to click to the Beltane site right there on the front page. It's not there now, but it will be. But on our website, there's also a link to our events calendar, because Brouhaha is our big thing, and it's the thing that keeps us afloat. But we do other stuff, too. We have a book club every month that meets in the Gastonia Books a Million. And it's a book/discussion club. We alternate discussing an actual book with a topic tangentially related to the last book discussed. And the one coming up is Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Ooh.
It's going to be, It is going to be a good one. The fairy tales, you know, there's like 160 of them, and each one of them we could talk about for an hour. We're going to have a great discussion.
Now, I'm actually looking. Huh?
Oh, it's the second Thursday each month. I'm not sure which one it is upcoming. It is, it will be
January
9th.
Yeah. I'm looking at the events calendar, and I see you have online book club via Skype.
Well, we have an online book club, but we have recently decided to discontinue it because no one was coming.
Oh.
I would like to see that taken up again in the future, but
okay.
But no, I spent one too many evenings sadly waiting alone on Skype.
Aww.
But the in-person one's quite lively.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
Awesome. I'm going to post your Facebook page because, you know, we have listeners from all over the country and actually some even out of the country, which is awesome. Hi, guys. That may want to sign up for something like that. So I'm going to put your information up there so that they can maybe contact you and, you know, maybe bring that up.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
And our SBAT is on the 28th of this month.
Yep, okay. Just next week.
Yep.
Cool. I know. So what are you guys doing personally for Yule tomorrow?
Well, I'm doing my Dionysus dedication. It's an interesting story. It's interesting to me anyway. On the summer solstice, I had an experience with a snake that came into my living room. And
ooh.
I am terrified of snakes because they're snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. People sometimes say it's a phobia, but I looked this up, and a phobia is an irrational fear or aversion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm perfectly rational. This is not a phobia. This is a healthy fear of snakes. Okay, so I'm sitting in my living room, and this snake just pokes his head down through my ceiling. There's a hole in my ceiling with a snake hanging out of it.
Wow.
And I freak out. Okay, I run out of the living room. I'm peering at it through the crack in the door, and I just close it completely, and I run, and I sit, and I call Sarah and Drew, who are my snake friends. And and I try to get them to help me identify the snake, which was hopeless, because you know those psychological experiments where they show pictures of people on buses, and invariably the little old lady remember the black guy with a giant hand cannon, and it was really a kid with a candy bar. That was me remembering the snake. He was like 20 feet long, and he could freeze fire.
It was a dragon.
Yes, he was a very frightening snake, and although he didn't make a lot of aggressive moves, you could tell he had it in him.
By the look in his eyes, he could see
that
the snake had hostile intentions.
A lot of it had to do with the angle. You know, he was at that angle that you could just.
I bet if he had come down a little further, I bet he had a switchblade too.
I'm telling you.
My big fear was that he was just going to drop there into the living room and take up residence.
Oh, no.
It was awful. So anyway, the way I dealt with it is I just, because I was afraid to even go to bed because he could get anywhere in the house. He's a snake.
Exactly.
There's no keeping him out. If he could come through a hole in my ceiling in the living room, then I, you know, nowhere on earth was safe. But the way I dealt with it is I just sat there and I drank until I didn't care. And I went to bed, which was great. But on further reflection, I probably reacted badly. I probably didn't need to do all that. He was probably an okay snake, probably a black snake, although he seemed mottled to me. I mean, anyway, but I did some research, and I connected some patterns in my head. And, of course, you know, the snake's a sacred animal of Dionysus. And he's also a solar symbol, and he appeared on the solstice. And I decided to interpret the snake as a messenger from Dionysus, who wanted me to make some show of devotion. So I set up an altar in the living room right there where the snake came down. And it's actually a pretty nice altar. I'm kind of pleased with it. And I've been keeping devotion on the altar. I mix water and wine, and it's a little ritual of my own sort of instinctive guidance there. And that was back at the summer solstice. And now it's the winter solstice, and I want to sort of take it up to the next step. You know, I've stepped away from a responsibility with the church, and now I'm going to, you know, fill that authority gap with a new responsibility. I'm going to devote myself more formally to the service of Dionysus with a dedication ritual that I've designed, kind of based on the old Orphic mysteries and what I can learn about them. Involved drinking, of course, and a few other things. So that's how I plan to spend my solstice tomorrow.
That's awesome. So what about you, Tara?
Well, I don't have any grand drinking plans because I have kids. And they're both sick, so we're not going anywhere. And it's supposed to be rainy and windy tomorrow, so we're probably not going to have a fire. If I'm lucky, the Christmas tree will make its way from the front porch inside finally. And the kids will get to open up their stockings that the Holly and Oak Kings leave them. So.
Cool.
That'll be about it. We might make bagels. I've never made bagels, but we're going to give it a go.
Oh, bagels are awesome. So what time should I be there?
Just in time to clean up.
Oh, nice. Now see how you roll there, Sarah. She's tricky. Actually, I wanted to, before we have to wrap up, I wanted to tell a ghost story about an instance that we had there was a huge group of us, and some of the members that are still there. I know Eric was there, Mr. Brown was there, Tonya was there, and I was walking with Evil Twin because we had been out to an abandoned house back behind your house.
Distressingly common in our area.
Huh?
Distressingly common in our area. These abandoned houses.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was an interesting place. We didn't actually go in the house, but there was like a little graveyard outside of the house, and you know, me being a sensitive, I felt, you know, like there was a man standing on the porch, like, you know, you guys aren't supposed to be there, you know, and he was standing there with a gun, and it was like, okay, maybe we should go. Yeah, maybe we should leave. And I kept trying to get everybody to leave. And that was the night, because there was a new girl with us, and that was the night I saw, like, two green orbs flying past her and I. She wound up screaming, I jumped, but there was, like, two orbs that flew past us that night. And I remember when we finally did start walking back, I was walking with Evil Flint, and we turned around to see what was taking the guys so long. And I don't know if you ever saw it or not, but I know Evil Twin and I saw it, but this huge black figure was walking behind you guys.
I remember you're telling us about it, but no, I didn't see it.
But I know, that, and I'm like, that baffles me, because both her and I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we yelled at you guys, like, you know, okay, come on, you know, there's something behind you. And one of the members of the group, who we will not speak his name, turned and, like, where? And went looking for it, and it went running off. But, I mean, the thing was huge, and it still baffles me that you guys did not see that.
No, I did not see anything. I think that was the same night that we had a lot of orbs and some pictures that we took. I remember that. See, there's actually the old abandoned house, and then there's another copse of trees that has the old Civil War graveyard in it. It's also abandoned. And I think where we were at is that we were actually walking in between those two, which is kind of creepy.
I know. It's creepy out there. It really is.
It is. And to be creepier than my house takes some doing. Because it is a creepy house. It is. It was built piecemeal, like through the 30s or something. No two rooms seem to have the same architect.
Uh-huh.
And it's all at odd angles. It really is the kind of place that you imagine has some connection with another world. And there's this closet that we won't even use. That is just awful. The door to it is. Well, you know exactly the closet that I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Over there in that corner, terrible.
That's so you can use your fancy indoor well, Tony Brown.
The very idea that there is a well hidden under my house, linked to that closet, is just too alarming to consider.
I've personally witnessed like a lot of like knocking in that closet. Like, you know, if there's one or two people standing in the kitchen, you'll kind of hear something moving around in there. And it's like, oh yeah. And I think it was Philip and I we kind of braved looking in the closet at one point, and I swear, I shit you not, you know, audience, it goes up beyond the house. There's, like, no limit. There's no ceiling to it.
It's just really weird is what it is, and I don't like
it.
Yeah. That's why I keep it closed constantly, consistently, that closet is closed. Sarah's been over to my house probably 100 times. Have you ever seen me open that closet?
No.
And you never will.
But now we did see that little girl in blue at Yule.
Oh.
Yes, by Tonya's Ganesha altar.
Oh.
I said it, and Tonya's like, I have to live here, don't say that. I'm like, okay. But she's not there now. So, and I'm very interested in orbs. I think orbs are very cool. I'm doing this informal study about orbs that show up around beehives, because a lot of times when you take pictures, there they are. Nobody knows why.
Well, bees have that classic connection with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool. Well, we'll have to have you guys back on to talk about that.
Okay.
You know, we'll have to go out and take some pictures sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a picture on my Facebook page of orbs all around some of the Panaleptus hives where we used to have them. We've since moved them, but You can see them, and one of them has like a little face in it. And it's cool.
Oh, that's cool. I'm looking at it now. That is interesting. That is really cool. Well, it has been awesome having you guys on. And thank you so much for coming on and letting us pick your brains and talking about the church and everything.
Well, thanks for having us.
We've enjoyed it.
We have too.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you all soon.
Okay.
All right. Happy Yule and bright blessings to you guys. Give everybody a hug for me.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Bye. I love those guys.
They are both so sweet and funny. I love them. Mr. Brown probably does not remember the last time I was at his house because it's been, I think, 3 years now.
Yeah, it was actually a good span of time, you know, from the time that I moved from Mooresboro to Charlotte. It's like there was a big span of time that I wasn't able to go out there, and it's like every time I did, I swear, and you know, Tony, Evil Twin used to laugh at me because, you know, I swear every time I went to go out there, something would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my mirror fell off my car. I think my car stopped working. I got lost. I finally made it out to Brouhaha for like a little while, and it was pouring rain. I could not see where I was driving. I was going like 5 miles an hour. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I finally made it out there, and it was like, yay, the curse is broken. But,
oh,
all right.
Hilarious.
Were you ready to wrap up, Mama?
I am ready to wrap it up, baby girl.
All right. Well, I will not see you this Yule, but you have an awesome Yule. I'll talk to you probably tomorrow anyway. So.
Exactly.
But everybody out there, you guys have, huh?
I was just going to say, you can't keep sisters apart, shit.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I forgot to tell you this at, like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something. No, I'm just kidding. We're not like that. But
no, actually, she's lying. We are like that. We will leave messages in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's usually, like, on Facebook or something because I know better than to call you unless it's an absolute dire emergency.
Absolutely.
No phone ringing.
Yeah.
But we love you guys. Have a blessed Yule. Hopefully the new year will bring you much joy and much prosperity and much health and happiness to your friends and family. And we wish that for us and our families as well. And
as well.
We will not be on next week, but we talk to you all next year.
Yes,
love you guys.
Talk to you next year. Love you. Bye.
Right, bless. Bye.